Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Coached by Halls podcast, a podcast that I hope will help you to live healthier and happier while still enjoying a fun-filled life. So I created a post on social media last week that I would like to go into a little more detail with. If you don't follow me on Instagram already, my Instagram is at Coached by Halls, H-O-L-S. The post was basically a mashup of different claims made by the fitness industry that completely contradict each other. I saw all of these claims within literally about 5 minutes of scrolling on Instagram Reels, and I was actually shocked. No, do you know what? I wasn't shocked. People have been making stuff up like this to sell and make money for a very long time. So I wasn't shocked. I was just a little bit disappointed. Losing weight and becoming a healthier version of yourself is hard anyway. But when you have all this conflicting advice flying around, it makes it even harder. It seems like the fitness industry has managed to confuse itself. Never mind everyone else looking to it for guidance. My goal as a coach is always to help as many people as possible, live healthier and feel happier in their own skin. And I aim for my Instagram content to reflect that. I'm here to give simple tips and advice to make your journey easier. It really doesn't have to be complicated, but it definitely has been made complicated. So I'm going to give a little bit of an explanation about the different claims people have made that made it onto my post. So the first and one that I have seen everywhere recently. Sorry, I'm just going to clear my throat. 1 second. Okay, we're back. I think that should be better. So, lost where I was now. I was just about to go into the first point, wasn't I? So yeah, one claim that I have seen everywhere recently, I have actually been blocked by many other quote unquote health quote coaches, fitness coaches, for questioning people on this. I've had to stop reading these posts for my own mental sanity. Cortisol. It's everywhere. People selling plans that quote unquote balance your cortisol. They'll use hooks like, are you stressed? Do you wake up in the night? Do you constantly look at your phone? The majority of people will relate to that because guess what? A lot of people are stressed. Most people will wake up at some point during the night. Literally everybody constantly looks at their phone. But you read that and think, oh, that's me. It's relatable. And that's how they then get your money. It's actual daylight robbery. Anyway, back to the point. This reel in particular said, don't do HIIT, it spikes your cortisol levels. And do you know what? They're right. But it isn't a bad thing. Anything that puts stress on the body will spike your cortisol. Exercise is technically a stress on the body. So it will spike cortisol, but it's a good stress. It isn't a bad thing. People love using the word spike to scaremonger. Exercise will spike your cortisol, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Eating this food will spike your blood glucose levels. Yep, it's supposed to. That's why we have insulin. Insulin would just be cutting about our body unemployed if we didn't have blood glucose spikes. There's a claim that cortisol spikes make you store body fat around your stomach. This claim is also not true. Fat gain is energy balance and energy balance only. The only way you can store excess fat is by consuming more calories than your body requires for energy. Gosh, this has turned into a full episode on cortisol now, hasn't it? Let's say, for example, you're a busy working mum and the only time you get to exercise is 20 minutes at the end of the day when the children are asleep and you just opt for a 20-minute HIIT workout because you enjoy it. Claims such as don't do HIIT, it spikes your cortisol, could quite literally scare them out of doing it, leading to them doing nothing at all, which isn't good for anyone's physical or mental health. And then 2 seconds later, I saw another reel that said, do HIIT, it's great for your metabolism. Pardon? 2 seconds ago, I was being told not to do HIIT. Now I'm being told it's great. Anything to do with the metabolism seems to get a lot of attention. When in actual fact, changes to the metabolism are usually insignificant, even as we age. There's actually a common misconception that our metabolism slows down dramatically when we age. Studies actually show that this is an insignificant reduction. I can't remember the actual numbers, but I don't want to guess. I have a rough idea, but I don't want to put numbers out there if I'm not 100% sure. So if you want to read further into this, then just drop me a message. I will find the study and send it to you. I think the common theme here is that we just like something to blame. And when people have something to blame, they can create a product to sell to solve that problem. That isn't actually a problem. So the moral of the story here is do what exercise you enjoy and can stay consistent with. Something is always better than nothing. Exercise is literally the best thing you can do for your health, and it supports your mental health too. The next claim. Doing slow cardio doesn't burn fat. So again, the only way you can lose body fat is by being in an energy deficit. You have to be burning more through daily life, walking and the gym, than you are consuming through your food. It doesn't matter how you create that energy deficit, as long as you are in one. If going for a 20-minute walk puts you in an energy deficit, you will lose weight. If doing 3 high intensity sessions a week puts you in an energy deficit, you will lose weight. A yoga class, cycling, kickboxing, anything alongside your daily movement that creates an energy deficit will cause you to lose weight, which is why there is no quote unquote best exercise for weight loss. The best exercise is something, again, like the previous point, that you enjoy and can stay consistent with. This was then closely followed by the claim that zone 2 cardio is best for fat loss. So we went from doing slow cardio doesn't burn fat to zone 2 cardio is the best for fat loss, which are both the exact same thing. There's an obsession that I've seen on social media where people will tell you walking at this speed on a treadmill at this incline for this length of time is best for burning fat, or working at this certain heart rate is best for burning fat. And do you know what? They're kind of right. But what is actually meant by this is you are using fats as an energy source. So the fats you have consumed through your diet will be used and therefore burnt as the energy source for this movement. So let's say you had an avocado for breakfast, which is quite high in healthful fats. The fats from that avocado will be used as the energy source for zone 2 cardio. When the exercise gets a little bit more intense, the energy source switches to carbohydrates. So any carbohydrates that you've eaten, maybe you've had porridge or pasta, that will be used to provide energy for the movement, which is why they say low zone cardio is better for burning fat in this claim. That wasn't the case in the claim above, which is why it's so confusing. Anyway, but it's fat as the energy source, not burning excess body fat stores that you are holding and want to lose. Okay, next very ridiculous claim. Lifting weights makes you bulky and is dangerous. Okay, let's start with the makes you bulky claim. Let's get one thing straight. I have been training these hot dog legs for 6 years and they aren't even close to being as bulky as I would like them to be. It takes years to build muscle mass in a specific area. We're talking training one specific area 3 times a week, every week for years. So by doing 2 or 3 full body sessions a week, you aren't going to gain as much muscle mass as you think, unfortunately. If your goal is to get bulky, amazing, love that, go for it. It's an amazing goal to have. Will it take time? Yes, but it's so worth it. And do you know what? The reason I think us as females fear being bulky is because this isn't seen as being attractive to men. Why the heck do we care what men think about us? The only time I see a man slating a woman for being bulky is when she has more muscle mass than them. Unlucky! We are complying with the patriarchal narrative that women should be teeny tiny and small and just about big enough to be seen but not heard. And the only thing they have to come back on with that is, you look too bulky. Shut up. We will do what we want. So there's nothing wrong with being bulky, if you are, and if you want that to be your goal. Each to their own. On to the second part of that claim, that it's dangerous. It's actually the exact opposite. It's dangerous not to lift weights. The benefits of resistance training and building muscle very much outweigh any potential danger, which is eliminated if exercising, If you perform the exercises correctly, there is nothing dangerous about them. So I would recommend hiring a coach to make sure you are performing the exercises correctly. And if you are, the benefits of increasing muscle mass and gaining strength literally reduces all-cause mortality. So having more muscle mass will reduce your risk of dying of any cause. Everyone should be lifting weights. And no, you aren't too old to start. I hope that last bit made sense. I have no idea. I was trying to get my words out too quick then, because I feel so passionately about this. Lifting weights isn't dangerous. Everyone should be doing it. It is super beneficial for your health. Okay. Next claim. You aren't lifting heavy enough. Again, totally contradicting the point I mentioned above. It's gone from lifting weights makes you bulky and is dangerous to you aren't lifting heavy enough. of course we're going to be confused. Now, this can have some truth in it, depending on the goal. If the goal is to, let's say, grow your bum, more often than not, people aren't lifting heavy enough to achieve this. No, you can't grow your bum with booty bands and kickbacks. You gotta go in there with the heavy hip thrusts, squats, RDLs, etc. But at the same time, we shouldn't be shaming people for the workouts they are doing. Something is always better than nothing. If my 55-year-old mum is in the gym getting a few squats, a few lunges and a core workout in, I'm buzzing for her. I'm cheering her on because those few squats, lunges and a core workout is better than her sitting at home doing nothing. And if she wants to go heavier, she can, but she shouldn't be made to feel shame around not lifting heavy enough when she's still doing something. Next set of contradicting claims, and it's the final set actually for this podcast. The claim was, this is the best exercise for belly fat. This statement grabs a lot of attention and it gets the most sales because it's most people's quote unquote problem area, which isn't actually a problem area. We are women. We hold on to more body fat around our stomachs for pregnancy, for protecting our organs. But it's been made a problem area by the media and social media with this idea that we should all be teeny tiny again and have flat stomachs. If you see a beautiful model with a flat stomach on social media, they are literally in the top 1% of people. For some reason, these are the pictures that get more likes. If the picture gets more likes, you are more likely to see it. It's in the top 1%. Often these people are paid to look like this. It is their job. They train twice a day. They maybe have a chef that cooks all their meals. They don't have the busy working life, mum life. So maintaining this is so much easier. Genetics also plays a role in this. If you have a longer torso, then you are more likely to have a flatter stomach. And that's just your anatomy. That cannot be changed. But the most important thing to remember here is you can't spot reduce body fat. No amount of crunches will reduce your body fat percentage down. No amount of crunches is going to get rid of body fat you hold around your stomach. The only way you can reduce your body fat is being in a calorie deficit. A reduction in body fat will come when you are in a calorie deficit, but your body will choose where it wants to take it from. And honestly, the place you want it to reduce down from first is usually the last place for it to go. So remember, we hold body fat all over our bodies, our legs, our bum, our hips, our back, our arms, our chin, our face. So your body has all these different areas that it can choose to take that body fat from first. And more often than not, we tend to hold on to the body fat around our stomach more for the reasons I just stated above: pregnancy, childbirth, protecting our organs. But this is normal. I don't want anyone to ever feel like they should look a certain way because of social media. Having body fat is normal. Having body fat on your stomach especially is normal. And then the claim to contradict that was, you can't spot reduce body fat. Now, this is probably the most truthful of them all. Like I've just said, you can't spot reduce body fat. You have to be in a calorie deficit to do so. So there we have it. That turned into quite the myth-busting podcast. But I hope you have found this useful. If you have, please, please, please share with other people, share to your Instagram story, for so as many people as possible listen to this podcast and hopefully feel a little less confused about what they quote unquote should be doing. If you have any questions at all, details of how to contact me are in the show notes. Fire away. I will be doing another episode like this in a few weeks, but it will be on more like the nutrition and diet based myths. So keep a lookout for that. And if you are ready for support with coaching, details of how to contact me are in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, love you. Bye.